let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh, God, you do great things. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire. Singing your name, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies, these hallelujahs multiply. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us, like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, these
come on, church, let me hear you this morning.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky. These hallelujahs be multiplied. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, Lord of His Spirit. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His good. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Coming soon, He will roll the clouds. this is my song, praising my Savior all the day.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up,
coming after me. No wall you won't tear down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Come on.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
Christianity is more than a religion. It's relationship. It's God reaching into our lives and making Himself known and calling us to Himself. And as He calls us to Himself, there's a brand new opportunity for us to know one another. Before we come to Jesus and before we receive the outpouring of His love in our lives, we are very selfish beings. If you know that, say amen. One of the things that happens when the Lord comes into our lives is He begins to give us a new view of things, if you will. And this morning in Sunday school, Ben was teaching the couples class, and we were looking at James chapter 1. And when you get to the end of that chapter, there's a verse that says that if you don't bridle your tongue, then your religion is worthless in the sight of God. And it's just talking about the fact that we can tend to be so snippy about others, right? And so it's reminding us that that the religion we've been called to is different than criticism. It's different than legalism. It's different than a list of things. It's relationship. And so he says in that final verse of chapter 1, religion that God looks upon as being pure is the kind that looks out for widows and orphans. Well, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Well, if you'll stop and think about it, people who are in those categories, if you will, if you want to look at it as a category, people who have found themselves without others around them to take care of them need help from outside. And God is saying through his servant James that the kind of religion that is pure and that is honest to goodness worth something in the sight of God is the kind of religion that causes us to care for people who cannot do anything in this world for us in return. In other words, just pure love. And there is a pure love that God has for each and every one of us that goes beyond what we can even get a hold of. Sometimes God's love for us takes us directions that we wouldn't choose for ourselves, and yet when we get on the other side of it and look back, we see how God was doing something glorious all along that was hidden from us in the moment. Today I want to turn your attention to Psalm 23. And I want us to look together at a psalm that talks about this personal God, this relational God, this loving God, this providing God that would put us in a place where we can say with all authenticity, God is good all the time. Even when I don't understand His goodness, He is still good and loving all the time. And eternity will reveal the purity and the completeness of his love in ways that we can't experience in the here and the now. Who do you have in your life who cares about you? What name comes just like that? He cares about me. She cares about me. Not only do they care in a sentimental sense, but they care in a practical sense, because they not only care about me, but they care for me. All of us need help from time to time. Everybody. Who is that someone you can count on no matter what? David, the ancient king of Israel, wrote a psalm, the 23rd psalm, and he wrote it from a shepherding perspective. David knew what it was to be a shepherd, because even when he was a boy, he took care of his father's sheep. And one day, the Lord just impressed upon David's heart. You ever had the Lord impress something on your heart? And you're like, oh, wow, I see that. And one day, the Lord impressed upon David's grown heart as a man that God's love for David was like David's care for his father's sheep. And God just started showing him some things about how he was taking care of him, and how that every need was being taken account of and was being met because of God's great love for him. I doubt that David understood when he wrote the 23rd Psalm how it would become one of the best known, most quoted passages in the Scripture, Old or New Testament. How many times has someone been waiting to go in for surgery, and in those moments, I'm one of those people. I remember when I was going in one time, and I'm laying there and nervous about, you know, they're going to go to work on me and I'm going to be asleep and I will not be in control whatsoever. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Lord, when I am not able to be in control, you are. And you're reaching into the circumstances of my life to bring about exactly what needs to happen in any given moment. Becky went in for surgery Friday. She looked at me and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need." And I was supposed to be there comforting her. And I got tears running down. And she said, "It's going to be okay." I said, "This is backwards. I'm supposed to be telling you this." Y'all, she was cracking jokes with the nurses and the doctors. And it was crazy how the Lord was with her and just gave her a calm as she moved into this moment that was waiting for her. But listen to these words. I tell you what I want to ask you to do. I want you to close your eyes. I don't want you to look at your Bible. I don't want you to look at your device with your Bible. I want you just to close your eyes, and I want you to feast on these words. Listen to this from the New King James. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, I pray that You would let these words of this incredible passage sink into our souls and into our psyche today. Most of us here in this room could recite that psalm without any need for a script. It's in us. It's a part of us. Somehow I pray that You would take the familiarity of this psalm and that You would anoint it and bring us to a new place in our walk with You and in our trust in You. Lord, we realize that literally everywhere in all kinds of circumstances, people have quietly whispered, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need." Let Your Holy Spirit bring us to a new awareness of this truth today. Lord, thank You for giving us this opportunity. Lord, I am humbled that You would use an imperfect vessel such as a preacher to address such eternal truths. It just reminds us that our trust is not in the preacher, but in the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, take my imperfect words and bring them perfectly to our hearts and to our souls in such a way that we may leave here knowing I belong to God. I have everything I need because I belong to God. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you've probably heard this story before, and you maybe even heard me tell it. And there's different varieties or versions of this story, but it's basically the same however it's conveyed, and I'm just going to do the best I can to convey this to you. But one day this man was in church with his young son, and that particular day there was an actor who happened to be present in the church, maybe related to one of the members, and the preacher thought, and preachers do things like this, the preacher thought it would be kind of cool to have this actor come up and do a dramatic offering of the 23rd Psalm. And so the actor agreed before the service that he would be willing to do that, and he came up, and in finest theater tradition, he presented the 23rd Psalm. His voice inflection was just perfect. The way that he accented different phrases in the psalm was incredible. And when he got done, everybody stood to their feet and applauded him. And it was a moving rendition of the 23rd Psalm. And so they went on with the church service and went on with their day. And it was sometime later that this same boy was in church with his daddy. And there was an old preacher visiting that particular day who had retired. And the preacher asked him to come up and share some words. And so the old preacher got up and he shared a testimony about God's goodness in his life. And sure enough, as a part of what he had to say, he offered the 23rd Psalm, just from his heart, without reading, just offered the 23rd Psalm. And when he got done, you could hear a pin drop. Not a soul was stirring, but the little boy looked around and tears were running down the faces of all the people who were there at church that day. There was no applause, there was no standing ovation, just tears. And when they left church, the boy turned to his daddy and said, "Daddy, I don't understand the difference. That man some months ago got up and read recited the 23rd Psalm, and it was like theater, and everybody applauded and stood to their feet. But today, that old man, when he shared the psalm, there was no to-do, but I looked around, and everybody was crying. Daddy, what was the difference?" He said, "Well, that actor, he knew the 23rd Psalm, but that old preacher knew the shepherd. David, when he wrote that psalm, could have taken license and could have said, 'The Lord is a great shepherd,' and it would have been the truth. He could have said, 'The Lord is the shepherd of his people,' and that would have been the truth. But what David said was more powerful, more moving than that. He said, 'The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows me, and I know him. He knows what I'm saying when nobody else understands what I'm saying. He knows what I'm feeling when it cannot be expressed in words. The Lord is my shepherd. And my shepherd knows no limitations known to this world. And there's a connection between me and my shepherd that gives me the peace and the assurance to know whatever life is bringing my way, I have everything I need because he loves me that completely and that perfectly." And so the question that begs to be answered: do you know the 23rd Psalm, or do you know the shepherd? God has given us a free will. He does not impose himself on us. He invites us. In Revelation 3:20, there's a verse of scripture that says, and it's Jesus, the letters are in red if you have a red letter edition, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and would open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him or her, and he or she will have fellowship with me. The artist who is renowned for painting that scene, and you've probably seen it somewhere along the way in your life, it's Jesus standing at a door, an exterior door of a dwelling place, and it's a garden area. And one of the things that the artist did in that picture, go back and look at it, he painted a door, and Jesus is knocking, and there's no doorknob on the exterior. And the painter is suggesting in that rendering, he will not force his way in. The way to entry has to do with the knob that's on the inside, the entry that you can allow. It is amazing how God reaches into our lives over and over again to make his presence known in our experience. He invites us that first time we come to faith, and something happens, and we know, maybe we knew before that there was a Savior by the name of Jesus, but it never became that personal until in that moment the Holy Spirit came and convinced us of God's great love for us, and that there was nothing that could keep us from fellowship with him. Regardless of the nature or the degree of our sin, the truth is, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus reached in, and we knew in that moment it was personal. We knew that there was a decision to be made. We knew that we would never be the same after he reached in and touched our hearts the way he did in that saving moment. And for those who opened the door and invited him in, your testimony today is you have never been the same since, in a good way. Because he came and he brought his saving presence, he brought his light, his truth, his love to bear in your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I want the Lord to be your shepherd. If there's anybody here today or anybody listening online today who has never opened the door of their lives to Jesus, I pray today is the day that you'll open the door. Not because I am waxing eloquent, because the Lord knows I'm not, but because the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, is knocking on the door of your life and is making known to you in this very moment that Jesus wants to be your everything. I remember years ago hearing a member of the group, in contemporary Christian group, the Imperials, he gave this testimony. He said, I grew up in a little church in the Midwest. And he said, one day I realized as I had become an adult that I grew up in a church where Jesus was something to everyone, but he wasn't everything to anyone. And he said, I grew up in an atmosphere where I did not understand total surrender, where I did not understand laying my life on the altar of God as living sacrifice. He said, it was after I moved away from that place. And he said, not meaning to throw shade on that church, but it was just the reality. And God brought me into the presence of some people who Jesus was their everything. And I saw the stark difference between Jesus being something and Jesus being everything. And he said, I gave him my life in a way that I had never given my life before. Now, was I saved? Would I have made it to heaven in my former state? He said, I believe I was really saved, but I was not surrendered. David was surrendered to God. So surrendered that one time he would write a psalm saying things like, let everything that has breath give praise to the Lord. But then on another occasion he would write a psalm that would ask the question, that would beg the question that Jesus uttered on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But with all of the ups and downs of life, David learned, as I entrust my life to God, I have everything I need. He takes care of me. God knows everything that's going on. And nothing is beyond him. He's everywhere all the time. And completely loving through it all. He knows what is. He knows what has been. He knows what will be. He's created us in time and moved in David's life in such a way that he would say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There will never be a time when the goodness of God is removed from my life. But then he also understood that he was secured for all of eternity. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever one day. Some of y'all said, I saw the post, Brooks is playing drums in heaven now. And the angels are like, what? I remember the first time he played the drums to Beautiful One. That's one of your favorites. And he was all over that. I was like, oh my goodness. Just all over, and just worshiping as he played. Incredible to realize that we have loved ones who are in that forever house of God. And if they could reach back and if they could say something to us, they would say, don't worry about anything, but in prayer give thanks for everything. Remember reading that in Scripture? Don't worry about anything, but with thanks, pray about everything. God's got you. That's what we said to each other 2 weeks ago right here. We're safe in his hands. David said he knows when I need rest. He was talking about physical but also spiritual. You ever needed spiritual rest? God knows how to give us that. He knows when we're thirsty. He takes us down beside the still waters, because you see, sheep, if it's running water, they'll drown if they try to take a drink. Study the 23rd Psalm sometime. Go back and look at what all of the different meanings are. And right here, he leads me beside still waters because he knows the water that I need to drink from that will be helpful and not hurtful. He knows how to restore me when I'm not able to restore myself. He knows how to give me that physical and spiritual quenching of my thirst in ways that this world knows nothing about. He knows how to lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, to do the right thing because it brings glory to God. But what brings glory to God is good for us. The reason he's glorified is because he loves us so much that he wants the best for us. And when we receive our best, it's to his glory, but it's also to our enjoyment. The prophet would write, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When God is leading me in the paths of righteousness and his joy is being fulfilled, it's not only a glorious thing for God, it is a glorious thing for us. He knows when our circumstances are threatening. He knows when life has become difficult. He knows when the enemies have mounted against us. And please understand, enemies are not just people with faces. Enemies sometimes are circumstances that are beyond us, that are bigger than we are. And he knows how to walk with us through those times. All of us have walked through shadows. And here he talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice it's a valley that you go through. It's a shadow. It's not, listen, we will get to where God wants us to be, whether it's on this side or the other side. But the truth is, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul, in writing to the Roman church, said in the 8th chapter, neither height nor depth, creatures, angels, hardships, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love that God has for us and the purpose that he is going to bring to fulfillment. And so Paul would write to one church and say it this way, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion even unto the day of Christ Jesus. a shepherd in the midst of our enemies. A shepherd who pours his oil of anointing on us to say, regardless of what's going on around you, I am with you. I am still Emmanuel, God with you. And this oil represents my overwhelming presence in your life, regardless of what is happening in and around you. Our shepherd. Can you say this morning from your heart, not just repeat it, not just recite it, but can you say as a testimony, the Lord is my shepherd? If you're not able to say that this morning, what would keep you in this moment from making the decision, you know what? I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm not going to leave this church today without making my faith in Him personal. Lord, I hear you. I hear you in spite of the preacher's weaknesses. I hear you. Lord, you've connected with me. And I want you to come into my life, and I want you to have your way with me, and I want you to provide for me as you see fit. Lord, I want you to make your presence known, not only in this moment, but in the days to come, as I just completely open myself and surrender myself to you. I want to encourage that faith today. I want to encourage you to know that there is a God who created you in time and in space. There is a God who is preparing a place for you in eternity. Your eternity may not begin for decades in terms of moving from this life to the next, or it may be tomorrow. You never know what the next moment holds. So Wednesday morning, I'm on the way to the hospital. I'm on Divine Street going up the hill on my way to where Dreher High School is. And I mean, it's bumper to bumper. And the traffic stopped. And I am slowing to a stop. And I have this habit when I'm slowing to a stop to look in the mirror. And the reason I have that habit is because when Becky's riding with me, she looks in her mirror. And what does that mirror say? Objects are closer than they appear. Ronnie's not stopping. He's not stopping. He's not stopping. He's not stopping. Yeah, he's stopping. I looked in my mirror, this mirror, Wednesday morning, and I said, he's not stopping. He's not stopping. He's not stopping. Boom! And he hit the back of my truck. And here's the thing. Y'all know how I am about my cars, okay? I'm sorry I'm that way. Wednesday morning, you know what I cared about? This is going to put me about a half an hour behind schedule getting to Beck. That's what upset me. Because when the guy hit my truck, I'd already decided, bye-bye Tacoma. I'm getting you fixed and you're gone. It's just stuff. We care too much about stuff. Amen? God cares about us. He cares about you. I want you to leave here today and be able to say, not because it's the psalm, but because it's your testimony, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to do a preacher thing, all right? I'm giving you a warning. Close your eyes. If you are opening the door of your heart this morning for Jesus to come in, for God to be your shepherd, if you're doing that this morning, nobody's looking around. It's just me looking so I can pray. Just lift your hand and say, I'm inviting Jesus to be my shepherd. Yes. Yes. Anybody else? I'm inviting Jesus to be my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He helps me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He is leading me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid because my shepherd is with me. Lord, You're with me. Your rod and Your staff, the instruments of the shepherd, You use them to comfort me and protect me and to rescue me. No matter what's going on, You're preparing a table before me. Right in the presence of my enemies that are coming against me, while life is wreaking havoc, You are bringing the peace of Your presence that nothing can thwart. You pour Your oil on my head that I might know that You cover me like the oil is covering me. Lord, my cup just runs over because of Your provision for me. I'm never going without. Your goodness and Your mercy are with me every step of the way, every day of my life. And then, when my time comes to leave this world for the next, You have a place prepared for me in those mansions that are positioned on the street that is paved with gold. Lord, come take care of us. Love us. Help us. Help us to trust You. Save us from our worries. And give us the peace that passes understanding. Because we know that there's never a time when You are not good. Sometimes Your goodness is hard for us to understand, but there's never a time that You're not good because You love us so much. Let us leave here today with David in the faith that he had. Let us leave here being able to say, the Lord's not just a great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for You. I'm lost without You. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very words spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. You are the air I breathe.